Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. We've been talking about living the victorious life and the struggle between the new life in Christ that we receive when we were born again and the old carnal Adamic nature that wrestles with that new experience, the spiritual walking in the Spirit that the Lord has for us. And this is many times referenced in the New Testament, the issues and the warfare that are related to it. And we have to understand, as a believer in Jesus, we're not made holy by the law. As the old covenant, for example, that was a schoolmaster. If it showed us that no one could be totally perfect and successful in fulfilling every aspect of the law. There was only one, and his name was Jesus. He perfectly fulfilled it. And also, we can't make up a long list of things of self-denial or discipline that somehow was going to make us holy. Over periods of time in the history of the church, they thought, I mean, there were things like self-flagellation and all sorts of, walking barefoot in the snow and all kinds of things that would supposedly subdue the flesh, or our work somehow will make up for our failures, the sin nature, our struggles with the flesh. Beloved, there is a place, obviously, for self-denial and discipline. Fasting, for example, that's one of the spiritual disciplines that Jesus talked about, as you are led by the Spirit of God. But it's not as a penance to cover our sins. It's to draw closer to God. It's an entirely different mental attitude. It's not that we're trying to somehow make up for, all the bad that we've done. Not at all. And so Paul was well aware of the strife of the two natures. In Romans, the 7th chapter, I'm going to read a few verses starting at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, and for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, our physical body, our carnal nature. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And here, his final statement on the subject, verse 25, I thank God. He's answering his own question through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus will solve that dilemma. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But through the power of the Holy Ghost who indwells us, we have the power of Jesus. How did Jesus live a sinless life? He said, well, he was God. Well, of course he was God. But What he did was not accomplished as God. That would have been pointless. He needed to live a perfect life as the Son of Man. He referred to himself so many times as the Son of Man. His victories, his anointing, the miracles were done by the power of the Holy Ghost, not because he was God. He divested himself. Isn't that what it says? Of those, his godlike aspects, his godlike, he never ceased being God, but he chose for the purposes that he walked the face of the earth, that he was walking as a man in obedience to his Father and strengthened to do whatever God asked him to do, the will of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he didn't begin his ministry until the Holy Spirit, it came upon him at his baptism. So that was the parallel, that was the example for us. So we can understand then that there is a potential, there's an aspect, there's a possibility, not only that, a reality that God wants us to move into, that we can have victory. And beloved, I don't care, you know, that joke I shared about the pastor who didn't want to go to church. You know, every child of God faces these battles. Those in ministry, pray for them, because the spiritual warfare is intense. And because we're still in this world, beloved, the old nature is stimulated by its relationship to the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it, Jesus said. And that brings attacks in myriads of ways. Now, you may not sin verbally. You may not sin in your actions. You might feel even pretty good about that. But where are your attitudes? Huh? The attitudes that nobody knows about? God knows. And so the solution to this problem that we all face, and the victory over the old nature, is for our spiritual nature to take action against the work of the flesh. In other words, the spirit man within us, your spirit is the one that should be in control, not your emotions, not your feelings, not your physical body. Even it says, I don't know where, but in the word, was it Proverbs, about, you know, the infirmity of a man will sustain him. In other words, you can be sick in your body, but if your spirit's good, you're okay, right? And there are times that, you know, as long as you're in a good place spiritually, you can handle the battles, even the physical ones that normally might just really drag you down. Romans 13 and 14 states, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The Apostle Paul tells us we are delivered from the power of sin. Are you listening? We're delivered from the power of sin in our lives as Christians. How? By union with Christ, who is within us, in his death and resurrection. And that's Romans, the 6th chapter, actually those first 19 verses. He says, and I'm not going to read all of them, but says, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I can't stop. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, he's talking about the carnal nature, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And think about that. A dead person does not sin anymore. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Praise God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You might want to read those whole first 19 verses. Praise God. But every Christian faces these battles at some time in his life. And I don't know about you, I have found situations where I was actually shocked that we're able to do, see, hear, or say evil things that are contrary to the will of God. God lets you know, Now you're not quite perfect yet. And it's shocking. And sometimes it makes us afraid. And for some, it even questions whether he is backslid or saved at all. And what happens then? Oh, Satan just rubs his hands in glee and uses this opportunity to attack. He presents various options. They're all negative. And drives hard to make you doubt whether you're really saved or not. Oh God, how can you love me after all my weakness, all my failures? Oh Lord, I'll try harder. And then Satan comes in with the thought that you're not really saved. Now you have to get saved all over again. That's why some people in revival service, they go down every day, or how often there's an opportunity to get saved. Beloved, you only saved once. You don't need to get re-saved, but you need to be delivered from that negative thinking and from the attacks and the arrows of the enemy. That shield of faith should be lifted to say, no, I may have sinned, I may have failed, but I thank God through the blood of Jesus, I am washed clean as I repent and I seek his face, and I am more than able to carry on and to bring him glory, and that Jesus will undertake. When I'm weak, he will be strong. Do you see what I'm saying, beloved? And the terrible anxiety, if you get in that cycle, there's such a sense of fear and frustration, it's denigrating all the things you've accomplished thus far. And that's what the devil strives to do. So, beloved, let's not get caught in that trap. And I want you to know, in fact, right now, Father, if anyone is in that place of doubting, Father, assure them of their salvation. Let them come to you for cleansing, Father, whatever it is. We repent. We turn to you. We ask you to cleanse us from sin and all unrighteousness, and you're able to restore us in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. How wonderful is the grace of God. How much he loves you and me. Praise God. Well, my time has quickly gone again, and we'll continue on this subject. I'm just sensing the Lord's desire to set. Some out there really need to hear this. And if you've already got the victory, praise God. Pray for those who need to walk in that victory. I love you. The announcer is going to give our contact information, and whatever your needs are, they may be nothing to deal with what we're sharing, but there's power in agreement, and the announcer is going to give our contact information. Should you email? And you're most welcome to. If you would share your mailing address, I'll be able to respond personally with a letter, but I will confirm receipt and pray. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Esther Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,